All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Hi, Priyanka Wally.
Hello again.
You still a doctor?
As of this morning, yes. I checked my licenses. They're still active, so we're good.
Good. Tell me about the days when you're like, wow, I really don't want to be a doctor today. Like, do you ever have those days?
Of course. Yeah, I'm human. I mean, being a healer is tough, right?
Because it's... Tell me about it.
It's exhausting. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, though, this is where practicing self-care is so important. And, you know, taking breaks, resting.
Yep.
Burnout is such a huge issue. It's not even about medical professionals. Any situation where you're doing caregiving, caregivers get exhausted. I mean, so any kind of emotional labor, it's normal to, you know, burn out. So self-care.
I start giving care the second I wake up, Priyanka.
Wait, can we get Scotty here, please? Can we? I think we need Scotty in this conversation.
He's laughing. So here's the thing. So you saw my show. Thank you for coming to the show.
Wait, we need to just take a minute because the listeners need to hear. I'm seriously not just saying this because you are my co-host slash dear friend.
Yes.
The show Goodnight Oscar, it was so moving. I've mentioned this publicly, but it brought tears to my eyes. I was so moved. So
thank you. I got exactly what I wanted by prompting you. Yeah.
People need to watch this show. It's so good. And I'm just so, so proud of you.
Thank you, honey. That's very sweet. So as you know, that is very sweet. I appreciate it. As you know, in the show, it's not a secret anymore. I play the piano. Yeah. I play Oscar and I play the piano.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm having a little issue with my right arm, because that does most of the work when you play piano.
We need to back up, because you don't just play the piano, Sean. Yeah, you blow the whole thing up. I mean, is mind-blowing.
A lot of people may or may not know, or more so care, that I studied piano for about 20 years. That was my major in college. I was a classical pianist. I studied, you know, that long. And it was like, I'm going to be a conductor and a composer and a pianist and all that. And then I ended up talking to you. So, but anyway.
And the playing on the show, it goes on for 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, yes. Every night, 8 shows a week.
Every single night. So, of course, you're having, so what's going on?
So, you know, it feels a little inflamed. They don't know because I go to PT to work it out. I'm doing fine. I get through the show. But I think it's like nerve, something to do with the nerve now.
Okay.
But my GP, my general practitioner, he's the best. I love him so much. And he prescribed me anti-inflammatory for my arm. And so I'm on it every day. I couldn't remember the name of it over and over again. It just won't stick in my head.
Yeah. It's a weird name.
It is a weird name. He goes, just think of dick loaf, like a loaf of dicks.
Jesus. And you didn't forget ever.
And I never forgot. So now whenever I say, I'm like, I'm low on dick loaves.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'll
where are my dick loaves? People.
My dick loaf.
Oh, wow. So you're taking dick loaves every day.
I'm taking dick loaves every day. 75 milligrams of dick loaves.
Now, I know you've shared with me about how you're not the biggest fan of acupuncture, or at least cupping. You had a bad cupping experience. But, you know, when I was in Chicago for those couple of nights, I visited a local acupuncturist inspired by Alexandra Daddario's episode when she goes everywhere and she just goes, sees acupuncturists. And there's a great acupuncturist like right down the street from the Goodman.
Really?
I was just going to suggest, like, maybe they could put some points on your arm and it would at least help with some of the pain.
I'm into that.
Yeah. You could tell her, like, hey, I had a bad cupping experience. Don't do anything crazy. And you could just have them do it just on the arm.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I mean, yeah, I can text you the place I went to. It's literally like 5-minute walk from the theater.
I'm also going to an ENT tomorrow because I scream a lot in the show and my throat hurts. Yeah. That's why I'm talking like this. Anyway, look, 8 shows a week. It ain't glamorous, folks, but I love it.
How have you liked living in downtown Chicago, though?
Oh, I love it. I don't particularly love the area. I mean, the building I live in is great, and all the people are so nice, and everybody's friendly. Mm-hmm. It's just a little too dense and crowded for me. It's a little bit like equivalent to Times Square in New York, so which is also great, and if you live there, terrific in that specific section, but it's just not for me personally. I need to get out a little further, but for this little short run in Chicago, it's fine. I'm having a great time.
That's a very politically sweet way of saying that you need to get the fuck out of here. ASAP, and you're dying. Please, you're counting the minutes.
There's this one street performer who plays the drums almost every day for hours.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
plays the same riff of Poison by Bill Beth DeVoe. You know, poison. So over and over, I can't get it out of my head. And everybody else that lives in the building, all the actors, we all live in the same building. So whenever we meet at the theater, we're like, can you get the song Poison out of your head? They're like, no, it's running in my head 24 hours a day.
Oh, wow. That's sort of like a weird theater comedy torture chamber. Like, yeah, what a situation.
Isn't it kind of fun? There's a little bit like the circus, like we all live together.
So everyone in the show lives in your building?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's part of an agreement the Goodman Theater has.
Oh, interesting.
So they put all the actors
artists in residence.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. So you must be getting to know them like super well at this
point. Oh, we're like family. I love them. We all say this. We really lucked out that we all just are really like a family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we all hang out outside of the theater too, and it's really fun. I love those guys.
Yeah, that makes all the difference, right? The team you're with.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that they're incredibly talented as well.
I mean, speaking of incredibly talented, our guest today, Heather Dubrow.
Heather Dubrow.
What hasn't she done?
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to get into it, but she's done a lot. She's a real housewife.
She is a real housewife.
She's not a fake one. She's a real one. Before we get to her, let's hear from our listeners. Our first recorded message is from someone named Meredith. Let's listen.
Okay.
Hi, Sean and Dr. Wally. My name is Meredith, and I'm calling in from the state of Maine. I have an interesting condition that not too many have heard of, and many doctors are fascinated with. It's a hereditary, from my dad's side, degenerative condition with the eyes called corneal lattice dystrophy. This is a condition where my vision slowly degrades as proteins scar the cornea in what looks like a lattice pattern, and over time requires a full-thickness corneal transplant.
Oh,
I've dealt with this for so long, it's just part of my life. Dry eyes, corneal abrasions, erosions, diminished vision were just the norm for me, but it really kicked in after having kids to the point that not even contacts would correct my vision. About 15 years ago, I had my first corneal transplant. For context, most corneal transplants are one and done. Unfortunately, lattice dystrophy is aggressive and can grow back into the new cornea. So at this point, I've had a total of 4 transplants, 2 in each eye.
Oh
my last two transplants were in 2020 and 2021 as a result of weakened corneas and resulting infections.
Right.
At this point, I should be good for a while, but will likely need new transplants in the next 10 years or so. As a side note, my kids did not inherit this gene, so the pattern of corneal lattice stops with me, which I am grateful for.
Oh my gosh.
I would also like to give a big shout out to organ and tissue donation. I'm grateful for this gift every day. It's really opened my world.
So this is
my crazy medical story, really the never-ending story for me. I love your podcast. I listen every week. You make me laugh, and I always learn something new. So please keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
Meredith. That's so sweet.
Wait, so I don't understand. When she says transplant.
Corneal transplant.
I'm the dum-dum. They take a fucking cornea from another eyeball and put it in her?
Yeah, they cut out the bad cornea that, in Meredith's case, she has this corneal lattice dystrophy. So her cornea is getting, your penis is hurting. Okay, well, brace yourself, because her cornea is basically getting accumulated with little clumps of protein called amyloid. It's a type of protein.
Is that the same thing that causes, what's it called?
Kidney issues?
Glaucoma.
Glaucoma is a different thing. Glaucoma is caused by pressure changes in the eye, but amyloidosis is a condition where the protein can deposit in various parts of your body, and in this case, corneal lattice dystrophy, it's going in her eye, and it's making this sort of lattice, you know, the pie lattice kind of pattern. Yeah, and so...
Like like an apple pie, like the thing on the
top.
It's
like pie in the eye, right? Exactly. So
pie in the eye. That's very good.
I'll be here all week, folks. Yeah. So, but can you imagine not having to do one, but two? I mean, basically, because both eyes, so three, four corneal transplants.
So let me ask you this. So first of all, unbelievable story. I can't believe this.
Unbelievable.
And those kinds of stories, Meredith, thank you, remind us all how lucky we are that we can see, that we just have the power of sight. I mean, it's just,
you
just forget about just the littlest things, hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, feeling, walking, anything.
Yeah. Can Meredith tell the difference? Like, oh man, this transplant is so much better than the one from 10 years ago.
Yeah. And I wonder like how the procedure is and how long it takes to recover. And then when she recovers, she's just counting the days until it goes away again.
Yeah.
Do any of these like stick? Like, will one transplant be like, oh my God, it's actually not coming back now? Or
well, unfortunately, specifically with the condition Meredith is talking about, it keeps coming back. Otherwise, generally, most people will do a corneal transplant and then they're good. You know, one transplant's enough.
Yeah, like she said, one and done usually.
Yeah, yeah. But my, oh my, Meredith, thank you so much for sharing this story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting and rare. And, you know, I'm so glad that right now things are stable for you. And the best part is that your kids aren't affected by it either because it's hereditary.
I mean, I can't imagine just getting new eyeballs all the time.
I know. I know. It's like leasing a new car, basically.
My God. What if you got like the eyeballs
of like someone who was just like really optimistic? So they always like, or someone with rose colored glasses.
I wonder if they change the color of her eyes. That'd be cool.
Oh, well, the color of your eyes is your iris, which is
no,
a different
I know that.
Structure.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that, but I just said
let's
I know
move
that.
On to the next caller.
Okay, next caller is Jonathan. Let's hear what Jonathan has to say.
Hi, Sean. Dr. Wally, love the show. My name is Jonathan from Jacksonville, North Carolina. When I was in the Air Force in California in the early 2000s, I developed blisters all over my lips, my eyes, my chest, and my undercarriage, if I can be polite. I went to the doctor. They had no idea. I went to basically urgent care, sick call, they call it in the military, days at a time to get off work. Went away. Mm. Nobody knew. Happened again, much worse. Total mutilation of undercarriage, suitcase handle, lips. Couldn't open my eyes. Luckily, there was a doctor who did his thesis on Stephen Johnson syndrome. But I've also heard it called erythema multiforme. So, Dr. Wally, if you can give me some clarification between the two. I know there's some parallels. But I was in isolation for a while until they figured out what was wrong with me. People came in bio suits. I had no visitors. And then basically bunches and bunches of prednisone. Mm. 5 or 6 years later, I had a small outbreak. The prednisone cleared up. And then it's just gone into remission. And I haven't had an incident since maybe 2010. So hopefully another decade goes bye.
Oh, my God. That's so smartly.
He's describing a very rare syndrome called Stephen Johnson syndrome. This is potentially a life-threatening disease where it affects your skin and your mucous membrane. So like your mouth.
It affects your Stephen Johnson.
Yeah, and it's awful, Sean. I mean, basically your skin, it basically can slough off really easily and erode.
Oh, no way. It's expose your muscle and your whatever?
Oh, everything. Yeah, in fact, the people that get Stephen Johnson syndrome have the same kind of complications as burn victims.
Burn victims, I was just going to say. Wow.
Yeah, so you have to cover the skin and like give them electrolytes and all that. But here's the thing, Jonathan, you said that this might also be called something called erythema multiforme. And what's the difference between the two? So this is for Jonathan. The key difference between Stephen Johnson syndrome and erythema multiforme is in Stephen Johnson syndrome, there's a specific physical exam finding. It's called the positive Nikolsky sign, where basically you can just slightly rub the skin and the superficial skin layer will slough off.
I need that for my face.
No, you don't want this.
Oh, okay.
This is not. It's like
your
skin's literally peeling off, not in the right way. That only happens with Stephen Johnson syndrome, not with erythema multiforme. Although erythema multiforme also causes blisters, Stephen Johnson has this Nikolsky sign where your skin basically separates.
Okay, so
quite
we got
easily.
Nicole, Steve, and Jonathan. So
right,
Jonathan,
we have a whole party.
So he said he had blisters or something, right?
He had blisters, and he said he had blisters in his near his eyes, mouth, and genitals, which that's a very common place for Steven Johnson syndrome.
Incurable or what?
Well, you basically treat the symptoms, and then sometimes things like in Jonathan's case, steroids helped. You just lower the immune system response, and that helped. But this is life-threatening.
Wow. But when you do the prednisone, and it takes it down, and so the body can fight it, it usually fights it and then goes away?
Yeah. But the thing about Steven Johnson's, this is what's really interesting. It's usually caused by some kind of first-time exposure to some type of drug, like an antibiotic or something like that. That's usually what triggers Steven Johnson. And erythema multiforme, it usually is triggered more by infections, like some type of herpes infection or mycoplasma or one of those. Yeah. So this is wild. Yeah. Super
I'm
rare.
I'm glad you're doing okay, Jonathan. And by the way, thank you for your service. We appreciate
that. Thank
you for
your service.
And I want to thank Jonathan, Steve, Nicole, and Johnson all for showing up on that call today.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Guys, thank you for your calls. We love them. Keep them coming. The number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. Again, 1-323-529-6031. Keep sharing your stories with us. We love it. Let's get to our guest.
We are supported by Masterworks.
Listen, when it comes to making money these days, we can all agree, Priyanka.
Yeah, we have no idea how to invest like billionaires, right?
Well, you have to have the money to invest like that, right? We don't have that kind of money. These billionaires invest a little differently than regular people.
Right. They invest in one of the best performing asset classes in over the past 25 years.
Something Deloitte projected will soar by over $1 trillion by 2026. That's not that far away.
That's wild. And we're literally talking about art by Picasso, which has the potential to explode by millions of dollars.
Yes. Luckily, Masterworks allow you to invest in this rapidly growing market alongside these billionaires.
And you can do it for a lot less than you would think.
Totally. Masterworks only takes 60 seconds to sign up and use.
And it's a pretty cool opportunity.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
We also reach out to Masterworks, and you can skip their waitlist with our special code.
So to get started, go to masterworks.com and use promo code HYPO.
Again, that's masterworks.com. Use promo code HYPO at sign up to skip the waitlist.
See Regulation A disclosures at masterworks.com/CD.
We are supported by Indeed.
Indeed we are. You've looked at your businesses hiring from every angle, but there's something you feel like you're missing. In your core, you kind of know it could be faster. You're right. You need Indeed.
Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place.
One of the things I love about Indeed is it makes hiring so easy with virtual interviews. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent seamlessly.
Yeah, it really does save a lot of time. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all.
Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews.
With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed data, United States.
Even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements.
Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring partner, delivering 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest 2019.
Sign up for Indeed now and get a $75 credit toward your first sponsored job, plus earn up to $500 extra in sponsored job credits with Indeed's virtual interviews. Claim your credits at Indeed.com/actor. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. There she is. You know our guest today from The Real Housewives of Orange County. She's an author. She's an actress. She hosts her own podcast, Heather Dubrow's World. Please welcome the fabulous Heather Dubrow. Look at you.
Hi.
Heather, so nice to see you again. Welcome to Hypo.
Heather, thank this is so you. Crazy. You're so gorgeous. You don't even look like you have makeup on.
You're very kind. I don't have makeup on, but the lights are insanely bright, which I like.
Are you in your home office, your recording studio?
Yeah, but something's wrong. You can see, like, you can see the side of my thing here. I don't know. I'm not technologically advanced at all, and that's why I had so many children, but none of them are home, so.
Guess what? A, it's a podcast. B, they can't see it.
And speaking of your kids, congrats. They're college bound. You must be so proud. That's so exciting.
Wait, all of them are?
No, just my oldest two are twins, boy-girl twins. They're 18. And this admission season was a bloodbath. It was a nightmare.
Really?
Because they were going against 3 years of applicants, these kids,
oh, wow,
who
wow
were deferring because they didn't want to, and I don't blame them, they didn't want to pay to go to college online.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, I mean, it was like, I mean, a school like BU, who I think typically gets like 30,000 applicants, had 80,000 applicants.
No
this
way.
Yes.
Are you comfortable saying where they got in or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my son is going to LMU. He wanted to stay closing out in the business school. He's super happy. And I'm from the East Coast, so I'm very excited that my daughter is going to Tufts.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow. You got smarties.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Now, you were before Real Housewives, which is probably... Well, it's not the, but it's one of the biggest things, right, that you are known for. You were an actress or still are an actress. Like, people don't know that about you.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, you are a legit actor. You were on Hot in Cleveland, which we produced. You're fantastic. I don't remember that.
All right, so here's yours and my little connection is through Eric McCormick.
Oh, yes. Okay, keep going.
Because back in the day.
Remind me who that was.
He's kind of tall.
Tall.
Dark
okay.
hair.
Oh, I know who
So, one of my... Big first job, like my one of my big, big breaks was I was on a show with Jenny McCarthy called Jenny. It was the year before Will and Grace.
Yes, 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 I remember
that. So I played her best friend. We had like a Laverne and Shirley kind of thing. And yes. Eric was on the show. Did you know
he
this? He played.
What was the name of the show? Oh, it was called Jenny?
Jenny, yeah. It was like must-see TV. They had a lot of high hopes for it. She was awesome. Love her. We're still friends. But he played like the celebrity, and she was his celebrity assistant on the show in the pilot. But they ended up, you know, not doing that story and doing another story. Thank God for him, because then he got cast on Will and Grace, which was
right. Right. Oh, wow. Wow. It's such a small world.
I know.
Yeah, seriously.
But you were fantastic on Hot in Cleveland. I hope you had fun.
Oh,
doing
thanks.
That.
I did. I had a great time. You know what was nice and weird about it was that, so, you know, I was like a series regular on a bunch of TV shows, and then I had 4 kids in 7 years, took a little break.
Yeah. By the way, I love that you say that's a break, having kids. Yeah.
It's a break. 7 years, you know, did some pilots that didn't get picked up, which was good because I worked, felt like myself, went back home. That was all good. And then started on this crazy reality thing, which I never thought I would do. But when I ended up coming to do Hot in Cleveland, what was great about it was there were so many people that knew me as Heather Page Kent. But it was like this weird dichotomy of like, I'm on this reality show and, you know, these people don't realize like I'm an actress and I feel like a fraud. And it was crazy, but I loved it. I had the best time.
That's the world we live in now because, you know, we also produced a show called Grimm, which was on NBC for 6-7 seasons.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
And David Gentile, who's like one of the greatest actors ever. He's
so sweet.
And an amazing person. He was on Road Rules on MTV.
Right.
He was on Road Rules and then got Grimm. So it's like there's all different kinds of ways to fulfill your dreams, like whatever they are.
It's so true. But like at the time when I started Housewives, you know, that was not the case. This was like, you know, 10 years ago was the first time I was on the show for 5 seasons. Then I left for a few seasons and then I came back. So when I first joined, I mean, you didn't do this. This was like the final nail in the coffin. Like,
yeah, back then. Yeah.
Sean, like, do you remember? I remember I was on a show called Stark Raving Mad with Tony Shalhoub.
Yes. Yes. Wait, Stark Raving Mad. I totally remember that show. Yeah. It was great. And you were great on it.
Oh, thanks. So I was on that show. And that year was the year Who Wants to Be a Millionaire came out.
Yeah.
And it went from one night a week to
just
two nights a week.
They're like, this is working. Let's jam it down everybody's throat.
Everyone's throat. Yeah. And we were just, I just remember all of us standing there. And I remember like two guys, a girl in a pizza place was filming like across the way from us, Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And Trailer Howard. So, and we would all stand and smoke cigarettes like in between, you know, the breaks, everything, be like, my God, did you see Millionaire last night?
Everybody talking about it, right.
But that was reality TV. And then so to do something like that felt very bad.
No, well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
So guess what? You're fucking doing it right.
Well, we'll see. And what's good about it, though, is that I've been able to sort of craft a life where, you know, with my podcast, my YouTube channel, all these other things and hosting and all these other things that I do that I've been able to do while the kids are at school, which has been really, really important to me because being a mother is just like, you know, my primary job.
Yeah, you seem like the coolest mom on the face of the
planet. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I'm not cool at all. I'm not.
But wait a minute. Can I ask a dumb question? Because I know you've been asked this probably for the last 16 years. On Housewives, scripted, unscripted, performing, set up, real, fake. Like, what's going on? Because I know a little bit, but I don't know how they make those shows. We produce tons of stuff, but we don't produce those kinds of shows.
Right.
Truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, I brought a girl onto the show this year that I'm like an acquaintance with. I knew her. I thought she'd be perfect. She is. She's beautiful, great lifestyle, cool, whatever. And it turns out she sued my husband 20 years ago.
What?
What do you mean? She came on what show?
On Housewives. I brought her on the show.
Wait, and you didn't know that she had sued your husband?
No, because it was 20 years ago and it was dropped. So it never, look, if we'd had to write her a check, I would have remembered. Wow. But I'm saying like, it was dropped. So what, 20 years ago, it wasn't a big, I mean, he's a doctor. People get sued. It wasn't like a big thing. And she had a different name. It was a different, look different. It was just different. And I didn't know her back then. So when things like that happen, you're like, holy crap. Like how?
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts.
That is
But
really
here's what's
weird.
Crazy. As much as I'm an actress, and look, some of the other girls will say, oh, she's an actress. She's, you know, pretending to be. I can't. And I think that the reason why I work on the show is because, look, if someone hands you a script and you're in a character, that is one thing. But when it's your life, your family, your children, it is a... it's a whole different ball of wax.
There's a little more at stake.
Right.
There's a lot at stake. And even with the fame thing, like I can sort of equate it to this. Back in the day when I was on Scripted, this was before social media, right?
Right.
So like you were really excited to get a blurb in TV Guide, you know, People Magazine. Like, wow, there's a picture and the whole thing. And people would come up to you and they'd say, oh, I love your show. I love your character. The whole thing. Now they're like, so Heather, tell me about Coco. So did she always wear suits? Or
isn't that interesting?
And you're like, whoa.
Isn't that interesting?
Right.
So I always found it interesting, too, that in movies, people will say, people refer to the actor's real name. Oh, my God, George Clooney and blah, blah, blah. Or Julia Roberts and blah, blah, blah. But if you're on a TV show and your name is on the credit, the opening credits on every episode, they still won't do. They'll call you, oh, my God, it's Jack. Hey, Jack. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, but my name is on the screen every episode. It's fascinating.
It's the filter. That's exactly what it is. That's such an interesting observation. But it's true. It's because movie stars, and I think the lines are a little blurred now.
They're a lot blurred now, yeah.
Yeah, but I think movie stars back in the day, or even 10 years ago, it was like on the big screen. And I think when you get to the small screen, and then even more so with reality, the filters start to come out.
Yes, yes.
And we are friends.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But anyway, what is the 7-year stitch? You're hosting it with your husband. What is it about? It's about a relationship like therapy?
Kind of. So what we've done...
I would live for that. I would be the best host at that.
Well, so, all right. So me and Terry have been together 25 years. Yeah. And people call us, you know, couple goals. Thank you. And all this stuff. And they ask us, like, how did we survive the reality show curse and the whole thing? So some people will also say, oh, well, if I had your money or da-da-da. But it's not about that. You have to work on your relationship. But it is about resources. So this is what we did. We said, okay, we're going to take these couples in this precarious 7-year mark, where the honeymoon's over, real life is set in, they're looking at each other like, what did I sign on to? And we separate them for 7 weeks, and we do full internal, external makeovers on them.
Wow, that's cool.
To make them their best, most confident selves to try to stitch them back together.
Oh, that's great.
But what's interesting about it is when you're your most confident self, does that make you want to go back?
Right.
Or are you out?
Yeah,
you found yourself where you may have lost yourself. Right, exactly. So you can steal this. I always say, I made this up years ago, that it's better to fall in respect than fall in love.
Oh, that's good.
You don't have any respect. There's zero.
Right.
So fall in respect with somebody. Don't fall in love with somebody.
And I also feel like, just in general with relationships, you know, we live in a culture that's very immediate gratification and short attention span theater. And the truth is, not only do you have good days and bad days, but you have good years and bad years.
Yes, for sure. Wow.
And so it's really, truly how you get through all that period of time.
Yeah.
That's the metal of your relationship.
I've been with Scotty. We've been together for 15 years, and it's like the easiest thing in the world now. Yeah, there were bumps along the way, but you have to decide to make it work, that you want to make it work. So we did, and now it's just like, hey, what's up? What do you want to eat? Great. This is how we proposed to each other. We're sitting on the couch. I go, hey, you know, if we got married, we would avoid the death tax. He goes, great, let's do it.
He goes, that's perfect.
How romantic.
Well, when we were doing our life insurance recently, we were redoing our life insurance. Uh-huh. And I go, so we have a lot of life insurance on you, but you don't have any on me. He goes, honey, if you die, our life will be a lot less expensive.
Oh, snap.
That's hysterical.
Oh, that's
all right,
a good
let's get to the good stuff.
Kay.
I want to know about your foot surgery. What was it? What happened? How did you get it?
This is so not sexy. I want to show you my foot.
Okay, let's look at it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, that doesn't look bad. Wait, on the bottom part?
But you've had surgery. This is post-operative.
This is post-operative. Yeah. All right, so this is what happened. This is not sexy at all, but anyone that's ever been in dance, cheerleading, or high heels for a long time will understand.
Triple check on all of those.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I got, so I had a bunion, a really bad bunion.
Yes.
And then the doctor, I've been asking him for years, will you do this? And he's like, listen, this is a very difficult surgery.
Right.
So there's only three reasons.
Just to remove a bunion?
Just to remove a bunion.
Yeah.
He goes, there's only three reasons to do it. Pain, pain, and pain.
Correct.
I literally waited till my sneakers were uncomfortable.
Really?
And this, but by the way, this is so gross, so I'm going to tell you anyway. So I had the bunionectomy. Then he took bone off the top. Like, if you picture this is your big toe, like bone off the top. Uh-huh. Because I had some arthritis. So he did it for flexibility. And then I had the next two toes shortened.
No, really? Just why? Why? Why did you shorten?
Because I'm a troll. I don't know. Okay. It's disgusting.
Just aesthetics. Pure aesthetics?
No, he wouldn't do it for aesthetics.
Oh, so it was a quote medical issue.
No. The truth is they were too long and they were buckling.
Oh, wow.
In my shoe and causing an issue. But I've always had the ugliest feet. Like, really?
It was causing an issue.
Mm. Issue.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
8 shows a week.
Yeah. So here's the problem with having your feet operated on. Number one, the reason why foot massages feel so good is because there's so many nerve endings in your feet.
Mm. Yeah.
It's true.
Can you imagine the pain level?
Oh my gosh.
And then the other thing is it's the farthest place from your heart. So for the blood to get back and forth.
I love that you're telling the doctor this. Yeah, keep going.
Well, you know, I'm married to a doctor, so I do have a small MD married to a doctor.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I will tell you this. I am tough. I really am. Mm-hmm. I've had four kids, three C-sections.
I know. I love it.
I have a C-section. I'm up in an hour. I'm good. I'm going. This laid me out.
Really?
What, the bunion thing?
Oh, yeah. 10 out of 10 pain, and I'm super sensitive.
Wow.
I can barely take an aspirin. I'm on the Percocet. I took it 2 days. I had to get off. I was cuckoo crazy.
Oh, wow.
It was a disaster.
Oh, wow.
Just from a bunion.
Yes.
And this was just one foot. You didn't have bunions on both, or did you have surgery on both feet?
I begged him to do both at the same time, and they won't do it. But now I understand why, because I literally, you'd be in a
wheelchair. So you did the other one too?
Wow.
The other one's not as bad. I think I'll be dead before it'll be as bad as the right one, so I think I'm going to ride it out.
Yeah, totally.
Wait, so that's amazing that it was worth the pain because having the bunion was painful.
It was so bad. I mean, I really... Wow.
So what was more painful, keeping the bunion or having the surgery?
Right.
The surgery was bad, but now I'm on the other side of it. So like, and they kind of lie to you. They're like, at 6 weeks, they give you these bullshit, like, you know, markers.
Yeah.
So he told me at 12 weeks it would be like perfect. Mm-hmm. And then at 12 weeks, he's like, so listen, in 6 weeks, I'm like, what do you mean in 6 weeks?
Yeah,
that's 18 weeks.
6 weeks, I'm going to have another baby.
Right.
It never is going on. You know, it's an elephant gestation. I'm like, what is going on? So anyway, so now I'm going to say 14 weeks. So I wear sneakers. I can like power walk. I went to a party the other night and I had to wear heels. I brought these little roll-up flats with me and I wore the heels for like 3 hours and then they were goodbye. I got my alcohol level to a certain, you know, blood level. And then
now, do you have bunions in your family?
And anybody named Paul? Anybody named Paul in your family?
Anyone like an axe? No. But listen, I was a singer at a 14-piece big band that I toured with for 4 years. So literally 5 nights a week. I mean, other than being a musical theater person and dancing and all that, I stood on heels for 4 or 5 hours a night, like 4 or 5 nights a week for 4 years with my band, which is why I'm deaf and I have bunions. So there you go.
So hot.
That's hysterical. Maybe there's bunions in your ears. Priyanka, how do you get them and can you prevent them?
Yeah. So basically bunions are caused by an issue with the foot joint. So your big toe is made of two joints. There's the little joint, which is the interphalangeal joint, and then there's the big joint where the big toe actually connects to the foot bone. And in bunions, the foot bone, called the metatarsal, it basically begins moving out of alignment, which then causes your big toe to appear as if it's moving towards the rest of the other toes.
Very ugly.
Yeah, and bunion comes from the Greek word turnip, which, so the bump on your foot, it's typically like red and swollen like a turnip. It's wild. Yeah, I actually have early bunions. My grandmother had terrible bunions, and so
I hope
yeah, I'm on the bunion road for sure.
Do you want to see a picture or will I turn you off forever?
No.
No, I mean, we live for it.
show Sean the photo. Yeah. I mean, I've seen lots of bunions, so.
How long ago did you have it done, Heather?
It was December 28th. Okay. This is
like 4 weeks ago.
That's the before picture.
Oh my wow. God. Zoom in. Zoom. Make it bigger. Zoom.
And you can see there's like a weird like thing on my, here, wait. These are the three toes that were worked on. Hold on.
The long toes.
Oh, I see why you had the long toes taken down. So the bone on the side is the bunion?
Yeah. Yes. See that big bump? Yeah.
So why does that happen in the body?
That's what I'm saying. So there's a foot bone right below that that begins gravitating out. And that's what moves the big toe in towards the toes.
But that's what I'm saying. What causes it to gravitate out?
Oh, we don't know why. I mean, but we do know that anything that crowds the toes or alters the forces on the balls of your feet, so yeah. Shoes, like high heel shoes.
So a lot of women get it.
This is a few days later.
Oh, post-operative.
Oh, my God, that hurts my penis.
Your toes really are shorter. My gosh.
Oh, my God.
It's like Frankenfoot.
To the listeners, Heather's holding a picture of the post-op foot, and it's hurting my penis because there's stitches on three toes, and oh, my God.
It's not a tattoo.
That says the word yes on your foot, right? Because that's the...
It's the doctor's initials. They make sure they're operating on the right foot.
Right.
Wait,
right,
and
right,
here's the incision on the side. Wait.
Wow.
Could anyone appreciate the fact that I had a pedicure right before?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so but the toes are painted perfect.
It looks like a giant Frankenstein-like scar along the side of the foot.
Okay, yeah. Wait. And then I need to show you my scooter.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's your scooter.
Which
on
I had
knee.
Monogrammed and blinged out.
Of course
that's
you
hysterical.
Did.
That's hysterical.
Of course.
That's how when you put one knee on it and you scoot around on the one knee.
That's right. And I had a little license plate made that says Champs because, you know, I like champagne.
Of course.
That's hysterical.
And then I got a bell to irritate everyone.
When you need
something?
I would
expect nothing less out of you, Heather, just to do excellent branding on your post-operative care like
good.
That.
Okay, and this is... Wait, let me see if I have a better... Okay, I got to get you a better after picture, but it's so cute now.
So it looks like a regular foot now.
It looks like... This one's blurry, but I feel like...
It looked like you had a sixth toe coming out of the side.
This one's blurry, but you could see how cute he is.
Oh, look at that.
Wow,
that looks great.
Adorable. What an
that
adorable
looks perfect.
Foot.
And it's very, very swollen. Like, very swollen. Mm. But it's so cute.
So I didn't know you just literally just had it. And so now you're pain-free.
Well, you know, it aches.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But look, better. That's to be, it's so much better.
We are supported by ExpressVPN. Have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's honestly probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? Chances are the browsers that you're using made a fortune by tracking your movements online. What do these big tech companies say when they're called out for collecting user data? They say things like, incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself invisible as much as possible online? You use ExpressVPN like I do. I really enjoy using ExpressVPN. I use it especially while I'm on the road. Maybe I'm using some kind of public Wi-Fi. I don't go on the internet without it. And it turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. I know it's crazy. So one of these data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, your connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server and your IP address is masked. Every time you connect to ExpressVPN, you get a random IP address shared by many other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it harder for third parties to identify you or harvest your data. Best of all, ExpressVPN, it's super easy to use. No matter what device you're on, whether it's a phone or a laptop or your smart TV, all you have to do is tap one button for instant protection. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/hypo and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/hypo. Go to expressvpn.com/hypo to learn more.
We are supported by Bioptimizers. Did you know that there's one phase of sleep that almost everyone fails to get enough of? And this one phase of sleep is responsible for most of your body's daily rejuvenation, repair, controlling hunger and weight loss, hormones, boosting energy, and so much more. I'm talking about deep sleep. And if you don't get enough, you'll probably always struggle with cravings, slow metabolism, premature aging, or even worse conditions. Why don't most people get enough of this one most important phase of sleep? A big reason is magnesium deficiency, because over 80% of the population is deficient in magnesium. Magnesium increases GABA, which encourages relaxation on the cellular level, which is critical for sleep. Magnesium also plays a key role in regulating your body's stress response system. Those with magnesium deficiency usually have higher anxiety and stress levels, which negatively negatively impact sleep as well. Now, before you go out and buy a magnesium supplement, it's important to understand that most magnesium products out there are either synthetic or they only have 1 to 2 forms of magnesium, when the reality is your body needs all 7 forms of this essential sleep mineral. That's why I recommend a product my friends over at Bioptimizers created called Magnesium Breakthrough. It really, really works. Taking this magnesium before bed helps you relax and wake up refreshed and energized. The deep sleep benefits are really noticeable. You can get 10% off Magnesium Breakthrough, the best aid I know of for boosting deep sleep, at magbreakthrough.com/hypo. Be sure to use hypo for 10% off. Our producer, Rebecca, she gives us like your topics. There's body numbness. So I get to ask dumb questions like, what do you mean body numbness? Where and why?
Let's unpack that a little bit. Yeah.
This is the weirdest thing ever. Like, you know, this is so weird. So when I was in my 20s, as a lot of people do, I had like anxiety issues. I mean, sure. I don't know why being an actor, a young actress in Hollywood and sitting in folding chairs competing against all my friends for years would give me anxiety issues. But there it was. Anyway, terrible anxiety really all my life. But the way it manifested itself in me was I started getting this weird left side like issue. And so I have it right now. I've had it for, you know, 30 something years. So
what are you experiencing right
now?
So what
this is what it feels like. Do you ever take like or something, like some kind of drug, and you feel, okay, but you know what I'm saying. So like you ever take something like that, and when you feel it starts working, it almost feels like a warm wash. Okay, so I call it like the drug wash. When it starts, you feel it's kind of a warm like sensation, right? So I feel like in my whole arm and my leg, the whole thing, down to the fingers, down to the foot, like a left side warm sensation that's almost a little numb, but not pins and needles.
But when you take something, you mean? When you take the thing, or just no?
It's completely random. It gets worse when I'm stressed, almost like when you have sciatica. You know, like sciatica can get really bad if you're stressed. Like you go like, Sorry, like you get an attack. It's like that, but it's been going on for years. So I met, it started when I was like in my early 20s. I met my husband at 27.
Okay.
And I would tell him about it, and he was concerned. And I mean, I got tested for everything. I got tested for MS. I got, and I have a pineal cyst in my brain, which we can get into also, which is benign, not a big deal.
But, what that is.
Oh, I'm a hot mess. But I've had many MRIs because of it, just to follow it. So I'm bringing that up, by the way, brain of a 20-year-old, not to brag. You know, I'm bringing it up because I've had all of those major tests done where you would see something in the brain or something in the neck or something in the back, like a nerve thing or something. And thankfully, I don't have any of those kind of diseases. I don't have any, my ANA is negative.
What is that? What is that?
It's an anti-nuclear antibody. It's a measure of an autoimmune condition.
Okay.
It's nonspecific, but you don't have a positive ANA. Okay.
Right. But weirdly, my dad, who's no longer alive, but my dad had very strange autoimmune issues. He had He had scleroderma. He had Kress syndrome. He had aortic hypertension. Very rare, weird things. And Raynaud's, which I do have.
Oh, you have Raynaud's.
What's Raynaud? Oh my God.
Remember, Raynaud's is something Rachel Dratch talked about, it where your fingers turn white or when you're exposed to cold temperatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your blood vessels vasoconstrict. Yeah. So you have Raynaud's. Okay.
Yeah. So I have Raynaud's. So I have all that stuff, but no positive ANA, which is odd, although they say that that can switch.
Yeah.
I'm 53. That's why I'm telling you, like, I have friends that, like, even though I'm crazy, I'm not crazy crazy, and I don't want to go look for something.
So, Heather, you're basically dealing with some type of physical ailment where the current Western medical model doesn't have answers for you.
Correct.
What does it feel like to sit with the unknown of that? How is that for you?
Like, before I met Terry, I was terrified, you know, because I'm like, you know, I'm Jewish. My mother thinks she's a doctor. She's not. And it's like, have a Diet Coke. I'm like, oh, what? There's syrup in there. I'm like, okay.
In college, they used to, whatever the problem was, we'd go to the student center where the health thing was. They'd give you Sudafed and send you home. Sudafed.
Right.
Like, my arm is falling off. Here's some Sudafed. I'm gonna, I can't.
Or I'm Benadryl.
Yeah. Benadryl. That'll solve it.
So I used to be very worried about it. But when I met Terry, and then, you know, I went through some tests and whatever, and he was like, you're normal. You're fine. There's no reason to chase this. I just felt like it relaxed me. Being married to a doctor relaxes me.
Totally.
He's very, very smart. And a lot of times I think with our partners, even though they have an expertise in something, we still think they're morons. You know what I mean? Like, and so, but I really don't feel that way about him. He's a very good diagnostician. He's a really, really smart guy. And so I just always...
So does he have an opinion about what this is, about your left side going numb? Because isn't that heart related? Like, isn't the left side...
No, I mean, because you're also describing left arm and left leg symptoms and that it's reproducible with certain scenarios, like stress brings it on. So, you know, whether it's related to something autoimmune or not, it's really unclear. But I think the bottom line, though, is that does it impair your quality of life? Does it impair your everyday living, you know, and I think I don't get the sense that it causes that much distress in that way.
I think if I was a different person, it would. Because, you know, I've seen this amongst my peer group in different manifestations. And what I would tell you is that maybe if I were married to a different partner, maybe if I had a different upbringing, I don't know, maybe I would react differently. Maybe I'd be in my bed crying. Maybe I'd be at Mayo trying to figure it out. For me, I just feel like we've crossed all the big things off the list. So I don't feel like I have that. I have, you know, 12 jobs, 4 kids and a husband. And you know what? I like being strong. And so I run and I...
We're the same person.
I work out and I just go,
except for
okay,
that part.
Yeah, I just, except for that one part. Yeah, but like I just, I want to be strong. Like I saw a video of Goldie Hawn. Like a couple of months ago, and she's got her Kate Hudson's daughter on her back.
Yeah.
She just looked fit. You know, I'm at the age where I honestly don't care what I look like in a bathing suit anymore. I just want to be able to wear my grandchild on my back at that age and be fit and healthy and have adventures in life and not be limited by anything. I don't want to look for the problems.
Yeah, right? That's so great. But you're not a hypochondriac like I am. Like,
no, I totally am. 100%.
I don't want to look for the problems, but I want to look for the problems.
I want to look, but I don't want anything to be there. Listen,
right.
Just so you know, a few months ago, I had internal tremors.
What's that?
As opposed to external essential tremors or?
I don't know. I made that up myself. But Sean, exactly what you think of, like tremors, but you can feel them inside.
No,
I
can tell you exactly.
Them.
I have those too. Okay, so this is what those are. Those are just muscle spasms on the inside. So like your diaphragm will have a muscle spasm or like, you know, like your inner ear will have a muscle spasm, something like
that.
Yeah,
I feel like that's called living in America right now.
Well, I was very worried. And so I said to Terry.
You need to call me. I'll settle it down.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I go, I'm having internal tremors. Something's wrong with me. Are you sure I don't have... And I started listing the MS, the Parkinson's. I started going.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You don't." And he gave me the whole like, "You are fine." Yeah. Da 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 da, and talked me down. And I'm like, Didn't go away. So finally, I went to see my neurologist, and I went to go see him. And we sat down, and he gave me all like did a little physical exam, and walked down the hall. Da 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 da. And then we sat down, and he goes, "So how are you?" And I go, "Fine." He was like, "No, but what's going on?" And I started telling him what was going on. He goes, "So listen." And he just literally basically told me that it was anxiety causing this to happen.
Yes.
And I need to go meditate and I need to knock it off.
Do you take anything for anxiety other than champagne?
So, you know, I do like microdosing edibles.
Yeah.
I really, really do. I was never like a big pot smoker. And I sing, so I didn't really like smoking that much after I quit cigarettes years ago. But I do like microdosing the edibles. I do like the champagne. But the other thing that I like to do is work out for anxiety is huge.
That's great.
Yeah, exercise. Should we get to the game?
Yeah, John? Now we're going to, what? We're going to play a game, Heath. Yeah. This is going to be so much fun.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, it's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're each going to get 3 questions with possible points for creativity. Sean, you're up first.
As it shall be.
Okay, Sean, trismus is the medical term that refers to a sustained spasm of which muscles in the human body? Trismus.
Merry trismus. wait, it's a sustained what?
A sustained spasm of which muscles in the body?
Okay, so it's something that is always moving. So it's like heart. It's just something. With
so
heart.
No, so trismus refers to when which muscle in the body spasms and it's staying really spasms. It's hard.
Yeah, it's got to be. So never mind the heart. So that's not the right answer. So maybe it's your diaphragm. I don't know. What is it?
That is incorrect. It's your jaw. It's the medical term for lockjaw.
Get a chance to steal.
You're gonna get a chance. Believe me, you will win.
Oh no, no.
I am the dumbest person on the face of the planet.
Yes. Trismus is when your jaw spasms. It's lockjaw.
You want to know why I thought it might be in the face? Okay.
Why?
Here with Heather's numbness issues. What is this called? A trilingual
trigeminal.
Trigeminal neuralgia. I had that.
Oh, you have trigeminal neuralgia. Interesting.
I would kill for three genitals.
This one's not as fun, though.
Yeah, no, trigeminal neuralgia is no joke. Have you had, like, injections for it or taken medication or what?
No,
what?
I'm telling you. See, I'm not just a hypochondriac. I've actually had this stuff. I had Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy.
You did?
That's a whole other show we could do.
Yeah. By the way, thank God, when I was pregnant with the twins, I had Bell's palsy. Thank God they caught it early. And so I was at a party with Coco, with my youngest, and I was like, my face felt like numb, and I was doing this. I called Terry. I'm like, I think I have Bell's palsy.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, go to Rite Aid right now. And he called something in, and I ran over to Rite Aid, and then I went to the neurologist, which is how I met O'Carroll, which is how I found out I had a pineal cyst in my brain, because that's what they did.
Oh, my God. I could do 4 hours with you on the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had that thing. It was numb in a shape of a three on the side of my face.
Yeah.
And then it just went away.
That's crazy.
That's
my
fortunate.
God. It's like talking to myself. So wait, the jaw, why is the jaw in constant
spasm?
Jaw?
I mean, lockjaw, sometimes the
oh, it's like lockjaw.
Lockjaw.
Like TMJ?
No. TMJ is a different thing. TMJ is just the temporomandibular joint gets achy or maybe arthritis. But lockjaw is when your jaw just locks up for whatever reason.
Got it.
There's lots of different causes.
Got it. Number two.
Okay, two. Which rock opera did The Who compose?
Oh, well, of course. It's The Who's Tommy.
That is correct, Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew that one.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll get your chance, Heather. I promise. Okay. Third question. In SpongeBob SquarePants, what sea animal is SpongeBob's best friend, Patrick?
Oh, I don't know. Wait, I don't remember.
What sea animal? Do you want to guess?
Heather.
It's a starfish.
Yes, that's correct. Oh, it's a starfish. Right. Yes.
It's a starfish.
Okay. So 1 point for Sean and 1 point for Heather, even though she hasn't even played yet. Okay. Heather, regarding the skin, what is a keloid?
Oh, well, it's a scar that's bumping.
Very good. Yes.
What?
It says raised scar after the injury is healed caused by extras collagen.
That's not fair. I'm married to a plastic surgeon.
Yeah. Okay. Second question. What is the official flower of the Sigma Delta Tau sorority?
It's the yellow tea rose.
Is that who you were?
I will give that to you. Technically golden tea rose, but
golden
and yellow.
I know, but they always say yellow.
Okay, I'll give that to you. Okay. All right, third question. In season 16 of Real Housewives of Orange County, you threw a dinner party where Nicole James was invited and there was drama about a lawsuit. What food was served at this party?
It was Nobu and there was a lot of wasted sushi.
Wait a minute. I just had it last night. I just had Nobu last night.
I love Nobu.
It's the best.
Heather, you
destroyed
the game.
Wait, I feel like you got really better questions than I did.
Sean, she did spectacularly. Heather, congratulations. You are the winner of Dr. Molly's Hall of Fame.
I think I got off easy.
We love you. We love you. We love everything you do.
I
love your energy.
You
are the best.
Amazing.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Congrats on your success, on your family, on your husband, on your jobs, on your
everything,
your books, your life. It's incredible. We're not worthy. We love you, honey. Thank you for showing up today.
Aw, thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun.
Wow. Isn't she great?
That was amazing.
She's so funny. My God. She talks faster than I talk.
We will definitely need to have her back to talk about all the other things. The pineal cyst we didn't even get into.
She dropped in like 17 bombs in there.
I mean, she was definitely appropriate for the show. And my, oh my, so much to share.
I know. Yeah, and it is interesting how she hit it on the head with the hypochondriacs. She's like, I think I have things I want to know, but I don't want to know. You know, same way.
But Sean, you know, you've shared so much on the show, but you've never had bunion surgery. Now, after hearing her story, what are your thoughts?
About bunion surgery?
Yeah.
I probably would live with it. I don't need to get my...
you would.
I would, because if it's not that painful.
I mean, it sounds awful. Now, I have...
I don't wear high heels.
I have little bunions. Like, I'm sure if I don't take care of my feet, I will be in Heather's footsteps. I don't want to have the surgery at all costs. So no. I'm going to be wearing really ugly shoes from now onwards.
That's the story of my life every day. But the numbness kind of scared me. But as long as it's not serious and it went away, it might have been
stress-related. I mean, there's definitely stuff going on there. But it obviously is one of those things where the Western medical system doesn't have the right infrastructure to give Heather the answers that she needs.
Yeah, for sure.
But to be continued.
To be continued. Thanks for Heather for showing up. Thanks to you guys for listening. Until next time, don't worry, be healthy. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hypochondriactor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Lior Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriactor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.